I'm here with Mr. James Crumlin. It is the 18th of August, 2002. We're in Louisville, Kentucky at his home. How you doing today, Mr. Crumlin?
Well,
would you just kind of tell us where you're from and where you went to school and where you grew up?
Well, look, a long story, but short as possible. I was born in South Carolina. I attended primary school there, elementary, and all of high school. I attended in Spartanburg County, South Carolina. Then I went to Washington, D.C., and later I was a bus driver for him. All that sightseeing car and all, and bus driver for my cousin, who had all that stuff. He's my mother's cousin, really. But being her cousin made him my cousin too, so to speak.
Right.
And so I finished high school, Armstrong High School in Washington, D.C.
Armstrong High School?
Yeah.
I'm guessing that was an all-black high school?
Yeah. Back at that time, everything was all white or all black. And I used to go, when I finished law school, I came to Kentucky and took the bar and passed it eventually. And after I passed the bar, I was practicing at 524 West Walnut Street. And then I went to 608 West Walnut, and they changed it to
Muhammad Ali Boulevard.
Boulevard. And I was there. I was and while there, I was Mammoth's chief attorney for about 21 or 23 years. And that took me to 8 different states. And I could go in those states because I had been practicing here, and a member of Kentucky High Court for more than 5 years, which was a requirement in all of those states. So I was in Tennessee, Missouri, Indiana, Illinois, Michigan, Kentucky. I'm into that.
Several. Now, did you have your own practice, or did you work for a law firm at first?
I had my own practice.
All that time?
All that time. One thing about it, I became a minister along with my practice. So Pastor Churches for about 36 years of the 70s, something like.
Did you have your own church, or did you do it?
Yeah.
You did have your own church? What was the name of that?
It was, well, first of all, I was at Brown Temple, Amy Zion Church, which I built that church eventually. It's there now. Although they cut it up a little bit now, to my dislike. And I then became Zion Elder from Johnson Chapel in Springfield. Every time they need someone to build up a run-down plane, they send me. So I retired when the process was long, December 1st, 1997, and then later on, last year in fact, I retired as president of the elder. I had at one time 16, about 16 churches under my supervision.
I see.
And then I gave up several because they weren't producing. And we couldn't find anybody who would go to these little churches. The churches have gotten more. And they got to the point they couldn't pay the personnel. Therefore, I know they couldn't pay a pastor. So, as a Methodist church, And we stayed with them, with an elder business, for about 12 years.
Okay. Now, when did you arrive to Louisville? When did you actually move to Louisville?
In 1933. Mercy. I actually moved here. I found the bar in 1934 or 36, something like that.
34, 36, somewhere in there?
Yeah.
When did you first become involved with the NAACP?
About that time.
Was it once you were here in Louisville?
Yeah.
And why did you do that? Why did you get involved with that organization?
Because I got tired of hearing Bill Warren Rankin talk about our boys O.C. fighting for America. The black boys were up there, up north. They better not come back here, thinking that they have won anything for them. Yeah. But they have colored water and colored waiting rooms And they left that and went to war. We expect them to come back to that. And I was sleeping on the bunk. I carried all day on my back. I was in France at that time.
You were in where at that time?
France.
Yeah. Were you in what? You were in the service?
Yeah.
What branch of the service?
Army.
And you did you see combat?
Oh yeah. I saw a little of it.
World War II?
World War II.
Yeah. What was your first litigation experience in Kentucky towards civil rights?
Well, in Louisville, they tried to keep us out of court as much as they could. We didn't want to go to court. As I was saying, I got tired of listening to Bill Gordon Reagan after seeing the lightning rip man's clothes off completely. Yeah. Black boy. I got mad and then from determined that I was going to see what the water fountain that had white over it, you know, tasting it better or any worse than the water that had color written over it. So I went there and used it. Got one to knock my head off.
What happened?
Shoot, I told him he hit me, he wouldn't remember hit anybody else. So he didn't hit me. Daryl intervened and told him, man, he just came back from the Army. He was discharged in Germany, and he was Red Cross from that point. But he had forgotten his army tricks, and I would advise that you not fool with him. Forget him. He wanted you to overlook him this time. I just come back downstairs at the white latrine. You know what a white latrine?
Yes.
It was a latrine that had white written over the door and a long drawer that they could have urinated in it. And so I've been down there and used that. I didn't feel any better. And neither did the water or the drink up there taste any better.
Didn't taste any better.
Different.
Is that what you expected?
Yeah. So I after I argued with him, they got in the courtroom and had a place for the colored lawyers to sit and a place for the white lawyers to sit. Well, I said, it doesn't make sense. I said, they got to maintain deacon facility for blacks and for whites. And no one is near the poorest state in the union, or almost the poorest state in the union. Others, they stop being silly and do away with these things. Dual capacity and so on. It would be better.
Well, when was your first experience in court in a lawsuit that was trying to achieve equality?
Well, two or three different times. First was in over going to Parks.
Parks in Louisville?
Yeah. When Paul said the black could go in there and arrested two black fellas for going out playing tennis.
Did you defend those gentlemen?
Not defend them.
How did that turn out?
Well, they gave him $10 fine and a $20 fine. The $20 fine was because one of the boys said, "I'm not going no damn place unless you call Mr. Gunner." Well, they made him pay $20. I asked the circuit court if we could appeal. And they said, "Yeah, we'll grant you." At that time, you had to affirmation
to appeal
from police court or to the circuit court. And they had one black over there in the circuit court. I later had his job, but that was my first event with Pure Sweeney, our dentist, Alfred Carroll's daughter, Mona Carroll, and another fellow who had no title except he was a student at Municipal College.
And what was his name?
Stubbs.
Stubbs.
Yeah.
What was that? What was that issue?
Well, they didn't want Sweeney or Carol Dolan, Mona Carroll, and to play on the so-called white part of the farm. And Mona Carroll attempted to go on the park out in East End.
East End of Louisville?
Yeah. And she was stopped by one of the security and said, "Why, you're not supposed to be coming to this park. You can pass through if you're a motor ride, but if you're just walking and stopping here and there, no, you can't do that."
Was there city ordinances against that at the time?
That's what he said.
Yeah.
We didn't find it. And it's according to the law, two of them, Well, who I'm on that side.
Were these cases, I'm guessing, before the Lyman Johnson suit?
Oh, yeah.
Were these early 40s or something?
Long before. They were short lifetime, but I passed the bar.
Some of your first cases, then?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When was your first desegregation suit concerning schools?
Oh, after the Supreme Court decision.
Well, were you the attorney for the Lyman Johnson?
Yeah, I am the one that filed the suit for Lyman Johnson.
And that was before the Supreme Court ruling, wasn't it? That was before the Brown decision, wasn't it?
Well, I don't remember.
Okay.
I thought it was that. Until you mentioned it. Just now.
Do you remember the Sweat versus Painter cases and the McLaurin cases? That was Supreme Court cases about colleges, allowing African Americans into colleges and graduate schools.
I think they were ahead of us.
Uh huh.
Because I cautioned Lyman and said to him, I said, Lyman, your wife and some children, two children at least, they may fire you for your vigorous actions. And you know the gentleman, he said, well, if they fire me, and these Negroes let me stay fire, then I should be fired. We had gone state looking for someone to fire as a human being against the University of Kentucky.
So did you seek out Lyman Johnson, or did he seek out you?
We sought him out first.
For a test case.
Yeah.
Okay.
We saw others. And he was in my office. And we had this conversation. And he said, Mr. Crumlin, if you can't find anybody else, I'll do it. And he said, then I wanted to go all the way to Michigan to get a doctorate degree in history. I can get it right here in Kentucky. So that's when I told him that I'll cool it for you, because they may fire you. And you got a wife and two children at that time, and I would hate to see you without a job.
Right. Was it difficult to find a plaintiff for that case?
Yeah.
Did you or Lyman Johnson suffer any threats?
Oh, I got rotten tomatoes and rotten fish. And did rats thrown against the house where I was living at that time on Fenton, Robert Downs' home. And he told me I had to move or tear on my sign. I have a sign out front. James A. Crumlin, lawyer. And they'd seen that in the Louisville Time, and Cunningham's was that before she became Ann Braden, Paul Braden's wife. She come up here from Alabama, and every evening she'd come out of my office, and the next day she had a story in the Louisville Times, it was then. And she said, coming. Said this and one said the other. And then the Madisonville paper.
Madisonville?
Gazette, I guess it was. Madisonville paper had me every time it came out as a troublemaker. I wasn't a troublemaker. I just wanted them to stop denying us right to go in Blue Boar,
sure.
Swans, and other places of accommodation. And so we kept on trying to negotiate. See, our theater was, first we tried to negotiate. If negotiation didn't do any good, if there wasn't any law, we would try to get some law on the book. And once we got law on the book, we then would try, we'd go to court. And we went up, Happy Chandler was governor, and we went to see him. He said, I haven't got long to be governor, but I'll do the best I can.
Was he cooperative, you think, Governor Chandler?
Yeah.
Pretty.
And he said, if you need any help, and I can be of any help, let me know.
Do you feel that he was helpful in this process?
He said so.
He said so, huh?
Yeah. I went to his house.
Now, do you...
He and Mama fed me, and... warm at the Barclays. In Versailles.
In Versailles, yeah. Do you remember going down to Adair County?
Yeah.
In Columbia in 1955 and arguing that case?
Yeah.
Can you kind of describe that situation for me?
Well, we went down there and we found about 2 grades were on second floor and 2 grades on the third floor of a house.
Of a house?
Yeah.
Why was that?
Negro house. Because of separation of the races. And she had the famous, I call it, in the infamous Day Law.
The Day Law, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. They fine you $1,000 per day if you mix the grades of teaching. So we went to the high school, Quiet High School, which was brick, red brick, and had one water warm in the kettle, and I had to shoot in them. Why can't these native children avail themselves of all the luxury and get an education? And superintendent of schools, I can't think of his name.
Walker. Was his name Walker?
I guess it was. So he said the day long, and he was familiar with it. I said, yes, naturally. He said, he got my hand signed. I can't do anything about him. And if you think of them bringing suit, I'll have to argue and fight the biggest there against you as if you were on the same side. So I want that to be done. Because you're going to find it out. By that rate, we had the Willises was our first lines.
Willises?
Yeah.
Earl Willis.
Earl Willis. And the first in the federal court. Darren and I took him to court. We went down there, a fellow from Jones, he was stationed in Cincinnati.
Donald Jones?
Donald Jones. Did you know him?
No, sir, I don't know him, but I've only read about him.
Well, he and I went down there. He said, you're crazy.
Now, where was Jones? Was he from Cincinnati all his life?
No, he'd been in New York.
He's a northern man.
Yeah. And he said, those guys come in, there was pistols in their pockets, overalls on, and you stand up there. And so you were calling the white man a lie. A school. Now they have a right to be educated. Our law says that. But it must be done on a separate bill. I said, well, is that your father's? And he said, yeah, that's going to be our. They'll stay where they are now. The primary students in the were down in the basement of a colored church on Pikeville Road. And in the back of it was a toilet. And when it rained, water was shooting. Swarm out there, and that was true in Crofton also.
Crofton, Kentucky?
Yeah.
Where's that?
It's between Hopkinsville and Madisonville.
I see, okay. Now, were you worried about going down to Adair County to take care of this?
No.
No? Did you face much opposition, or were you ever threatened down there?
Wasn't threatened.
Why did you end up going to Adair County? Did somebody ask you to come down there?
Willis had asked me coming down there.
Did he write you?
Look.
Did Willis?
No, he drove a truck. You know.
That's right.
And he. He drove his truck by him one day. And Marvin, I know, warm.
Right.
And they used to come around and see when all kids were going through. And I had worse than they've got it. They're good compared to what I'd tolerate. So I went down to look at this situation over. And I came back and related to Daryl.
To Daryl. Daryl.
Daryl. Deering.
Oh. James Earl Deering?
Yeah. He and I, well, and again, I filed a suit and put his name on with his consent. And we were in the court here. Court heard us out, and then heard our side, and then finally, the court said, "Oh, Mr. Crumlin, there's not one thing in the spotlight of the law. And the law of Kentucky is that you must have separate schools." I said, "Judge, it doesn't make a difference what the law of Kentucky says. If you decide that it's wrong, then you're supposed to say that law is unconstitutional and grant us our relief." Well, the judge did that.
Who was that judge? Do you remember that judge? Was that Judge Swinford?
No. Swinford didn't get the matter until another county. We were in another county. And but let me go on with this story.
Okay, go ahead.
From the school in Adair County, there in Columbia. So a lawyer who represents the school board, I forget now what his name
was. Was it Earl Huddleston? Was it a man by the name of Huddleston?
Yeah, I think it was Huddleston. But anyway, he and I are pretty good friends now. And so he those 300 men that were there, well, Brown versus Board of Education, Tyler Newspeak. It wasn't in Kentucky, and the Supreme Court didn't always Kentucky to do anything. So I immediately got up. And Jones, Tom Jones, said, "I must have been crazy to get up and find that law. Who's right there represents the war and contradicting almost call him a liar?" That's a pretty cool land. And what they rule, what they say, goes even though a state may not be involved directly in that particular incident to that covers the land, the whole land. And Brown versus Bullwinkle and that other case, Delaware, South Carolina, and
Virginia?
Virginia, Maryland, Virginia, Missouri, some, anyway. I used to keep up with all that stuff.
Yeah. Now, do you recall working on the suit in Bowling Green in 63?
Yeah, way down then, swim from Sydney. Now, you had so many months or years to have done something about this, just to see the Supreme Court, what have you done? Absolutely nothing. Now tell me, we have you doing that kind of thing around here. No. If you want 10 minutes, I'll give you 10 minutes. To go in that room right over there and come back and tell me what you want to do.
This is Swinford talking to the Board of Education.
Yeah.
Of Bowling Green.
Yeah. So we got a board where who buys it. He said, I don't care about the board. This is the court talking. And you was going to come back and tell me the court. I am the court. And he was sitting up the northern in Jersey's place, was it not then? Well, people know who was it. He said, I am the judge. Wherever you see me, is the court. I am the court, and the court's all that you, and I, you tell that boy that the court said you must do something in 10 minutes, but now it's 5 minutes. Come back in here and tell me what you're going to do. If you don't, I will tell you what you're going to do.
And what happened?
They came back and said, we've decided to go ahead and let them come over to our school and hope that this meets the approval of the board. He said, if it doesn't, it won't make a bit of difference. The court said that's his order.
Why do you think that took so long till 1963 for the Bowling Green schools to integrate? Why do you think it took until 1963 and a court order for the Bowling Green schools to actually mix the races?
You get to the court. And when we got to the court, that was that many years had passed. And he would walk around with his ropes, held back. I have my hands and his wife. Like he was a, just any old hick, you might go a little. But he gave him the order, and as far as we had to go, in that kind, and Baba, up in the river, and that county next to London, next to Corbin, the judge up there said, "Now you all go after some part there. You did it dead wrong. And they got you before me. I'm not gonna let you put me on the spot. Do something for these boys. And let me know now what you're gonna do. I'll give you 5 minutes to whisper to each other that you want to know. But do something." So they said at the end of that 5 minutes, as a judge, if you dismiss it, we'll do something about it. He said, "I'm not going to dismiss it until you tell me what you're going to do."
Right.
So, let's see. I think we were in London at the time. We tried, and Bobaville. Hey, I roped the judge a bit of bed against another school that we had. Bobby decided that we were free of choice. Carmichael and Louisville, how they called way up there. And so I said, "Don't bring me in that Louisville stuff up there."
That's what Swinford said?
No, that's a judge up there.
Who's that?
I forget now who he was. But I remember what he said. But I was standing right there, listening with all ears, and to find out what they going to do. So, I didn't have to file suit in Bobaville, and and finally, word came from Franklin that these people come into your classroom. I don't want any other suit filed. And it's going to be necessary. Had they be filed if you don't cooperate. When the legislature meets, we're going to ask them to take that law off the book or make it null and void. was a student. There was other cases on this in California. Last time I heard, and
Yeah. What? Let me ask you. What do you think? What did you think of Judge Swinford? Judge Max Swinford. Do you remember him?
Yeah.
What's your what do you think of him? What's your opinion of him?
Oh, he was the Judge Ford. And I thought Judge Ford was tops.
Judge Ford?
Yeah.
You think Swinford was like Judge Ford?
Yeah.
Yeah? Where did you find the most opposition to integration of schools when you were serving as attorney for the NAACP?
We went out to the students in the town. See, he lived in Davies County.
Who?
The superintendent.
Of what school?
Of Owensboro.
Owensboro?
Yeah. Davies County. I think it's the lawyer. Had some with happened to meet the lawyer, and that was pro segregationist, and he was for discrimination all the way down the line, and he said to me, Mr. Crumlin, you may be of that opinion. Said, but there are a thousand people with a different opinion. I said, maybe there are 2,000, 3,000. He said, yeah, I just said 1,000. But you're closer to being right in your estimate than I was. I said, I had to run. I said, look, I'm not you knew necessarily my opinion, and I'm not backing up on my opinion. I said, but I repeated you word for word out of court decision. The Supreme Court of these United States. Well, that doesn't mean anything to me. I just said it again. I won't say that exact words. We are saying that the Supreme Court said where it went. I said it started that argument over in Edith County. I said, but you know and I know Now, once the Supreme Court speak, it doesn't have to speak to every state in the Union. It's the law of the land. Is that what you really think? I say, yeah. Don't you? No, I don't. I say, y'all, if we're not a party, we're not a party. I say, well, that's like what Judge Brooks.
And who was this saying this?
His lawyer was the school board.
Which school board?
He's a lawyer for two different school boards, at least. And this time, he was maybe county.
That wasn't Union County or Webster County?
No.
Davies County.
Davies. Now, Union County. You've just been being judged. I've been at home in place together. And my first visit down there, he was a lawyer, representing a white woman, and a nice man. And he won that. I lost that to him.
What case was that?
We were in Union County, down the Clements home. See, where they what's the name of that?
Morganfield, Sturgis?
Morganfield. I can't tell you. All in Sturgis. And it does, and all that. And all in. What other little town down there? Coming this way.
Down there?
Yeah.
Henderson?
On his low, but high. But round toward Hawkinsville.
Madisonville? Dixon or Clay?
Clay.
Clay.
Yeah, you were the mayor of the city who was killed and crossed the highway long enough so no one could get in. And nobody could get up. And I have a little lady said, Supreme Court has spoken. And Mr. Brown said that I should be guided by the Supreme Court. This is. So she took out two children, a boy and a girl.
Was that the Gordon? Was that Mrs. Gordon?
Gordon.
Yeah, you,
Louise,
yes.
Gordon.
Louise Gordon, yeah. Now, did you have to persuade her to file this suit, or how did you come into contact with her?
She had already started. And when she had started.
She had already what?
She had already started.
So how did she come into contact with you?
She had heard about me getting started. You know, And the one thing, we involved in the matter, you don't think of somebody else that's working in that line and refer you to them. So somebody referred that to me.
I see.
And I went down there. And Thurgood asked me to go down there. And he said, well, we'll send you a retainer of $1,000. And he sent me the retainer.
This is Thurgood Marshall?
Yeah.
And did, so he financed, did the NAACP headquarters finance these lawsuits?
Yeah. See, he was with the NAACP then, although later, he and Roy Wilkins fell on, and he went through, and let's see, what's the name? That Jack Greenberg. Jim Neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
Well, working with Bob Carter. All of them. Those boys.
Let me ask you, did other states have as many court cases in the late 50s as there were in Kentucky?
One more. It was easier for me to win them.
You think it was easier for you to win in Kentucky?
Yeah.
Why do you think that?
The white people here were a different breed.
White people were a different breed.
Yeah. Than the ones from South Carolina people. For example, McHenry and I were working together.
Lewis McHenry?
Lewis McHenry. The old man. Not the young one that worked here.
Is his son in Louisville now?
No. On the way is now.
Okay.
But his son was here and working at the clerk and pricing and also making a stand by. But do that aid of confusion, everybody was doing things they shouldn't have done. But he was pressing the law and working that too.
Was there a specific strategy that the NAACP had, you know, after the Brown decision occurred? I mean, what did these cases come about coincidentally, or, you know, did you seek out opportunities to file cases? I mean, how did all that come about?
Well, we heard that they were still trying to operate on the Plessy versus Ferguson, I guess it was,
mm-hmm.
where separate but equal. That wasn't working.
Right.
And so I came to Kentucky in the first place because I understood that the white persons here were more considerate and it was more likely that we could get a cooperation here first better than we could in South Carolina, Georgia, or Florida, or Texas, or New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
Do you think you were more active as a NAACP lawyer in Kentucky than perhaps the NAACP lawyers in the other states in the South?
More successful.
More successful?
Yeah. See, I fought most just about every time I had fought. I bought a man suits as Matthew Perry had won. But Matthew Perry lost.
Who's Matthew Perry?
He's a judge now in Greenville, South Carolina. He at that time was a lawyer along with me.
Oh, okay.
But he's now a judge, and he's a fellow judge.
Kentucky's experience with school desegregation at this period, how would you describe it?
Well, at that time, way back there, he had some school that wasn't school at all. They were just boxes, so to speak. Just like at Crofton. I went down there and spoke in the rain. On the bed of a truck, and they asked me not to follow suit. Now we always think, give us a little time.
Who said this?
The lawyer representing school board.
Was this in Christian County?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, we didn't file suit then, although one of our lawyers lived in that town.
McHenry.
McHenry. But we didn't file a suit then. They got the answers not to. They were along that line, but it took time because we undid things that had been done across the years. Well, we began to understand that, and we didn't file a suit then. But on whole, Kentucky fell in line with Aid and Ned Breslin. And you remember who Ned Breslin was? Ned Breslin had ordered the public accommodation. All public accommodation be open to everybody, regardless of race or color, and so forth. So, pretty soon we looked around, there was no more court to find. Cases in. No more colleges. And Orrington tickled me. I got a word from the Orrington lawyers And I adopted it as my word. I used it a lot of times. Right now, the daggone word. It's different for now, but the word that I picked up on is I just said now, not being taken from body. I can't think of it now. Say my name.
Mr. Crumlin, where did you find the most opposition to integrated schools in Kentucky?
Owensboro, the county days wasn't not Henson. They did that wrong. And most of the time, they said they were on our side, and we're right. That's what they said. But apparently, they were saying something else to the other people.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and Mr. Ramos for 2-3 years, and we didn't file that button. You called it a few minutes ago. It's not Hopkins.
Clay?
Not Clay. It's the other way.
Sturgis or Henderson?
No.
Dixon?
Ben.
Madisonville?
No. Madisonville is Hopkins County.
It's not Bowling Green, not Fulton?
No, it's way west.
Fulton?
No.
Paducah?
I went to McCracken County, which is Paducah.
Right.
And they were tough on them, but we never found them. Sued against them. They've been in line with the others that came with them.
Were there any particular judges that were a little bit more cooperative with integration lawsuits than others? Which judge?
Judge Mix.
Miggs?
Mix.
Mix. What did he say?
He said, what made you all so slow? He said, why in the heck? And he said, I won't say the other word. Why in the hell didn't you hold out here? And you would have gotten more money I go to Mobile here, and it is prevalent, and it's going to be that way for a long time. And we didn't have it in the trouble in Harlan, Arkansas County.
Which county?
Harlan.
Harlan?
Harlan.
Hardin County, Elizabethtown. Was that, did you have a lawsuit there?
No, they'd be the draw.
Yeah? Were you threatening a lawsuit?
Yeah. We were gonna file Harlan and Jefferson. We found we had to double up.
Uh-huh.
And they'll have to have some more lawyers. And they run us around from county to county. But when the governor, Ned Britton, said public accommodation, accommodation is owned to everybody, regardless of race or creed, and then a lot of schools that had been segregated opened up too, especially with the governor saying what he did.
Who would you give credit to besides yourself? Who would you give credit to for the success of desegregating schools at this time?
Here in Kentucky?
Yeah.
Deering.
Deering?
Yeah.
And who, why him?
He helped me a lot. He finished Wayne University up there in
what university?
Wayne.
Wayne in Michigan.
Yeah.
Detroit. Wayne State? Wayne State University?
Yeah, up there. It's near Detroit. Michigan was one of the states that represented mammals did a lot of work in those states.
Do you remember when the busing order was given here in Louisville in the 70s by Judge Gordon? The merger of the two school systems?
Yeah.
Now, were you involved with any of that?
No.
Did you want to be involved with any of that?
No.
Why not?
Well, I'm sad. And I didn't feel that. I should get involved because they would dig up every piece of dirt they possibly could find. I got a lawyer and all the people involved.
Mm-hmm. And you stayed out of it, huh?
I stayed out some of them. I should have been in.
Did the NAACP, they didn't get involved with that suit either, did they?
Not necessarily. Through me.
Did you ever fear for your safety in this process?
No. We went to Birchfield. Reverend, two guys in Motherhead. We stayed. A sister and I and Mae Henry.
To Burksville?
Yeah.
Were you safe there?
We thought we were.
What happened?
Well, justice, we left. They burnt the latest tobacco field. To the fire.
Whose tobacco field was it?
The white people. Tobacco field. They were going to burn the house, but we had gone. They came there and set the house. So found this and that and the other, looking for us.
What county was this in?
That down in what? Cumberland County?
Cumberland County?
Yeah, where?
Burksville?
Yeah, where's Burksville?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think it's Cumberland. County. It's on the idea county.
Yeah.
Because it was killed down there not too long ago. He was a rascal. I thought he was kidding. But anyway, I appealed those kids and won them. And I've got my money for representing them and doing what I did. Yet. But, and I probably won't ever get it.
Right. I wouldn't count on it at this point.
No.
Mr. Crumlin, I appreciate it. Is there anything else you want to say in closing?
No, whatever you want me to say, I'll say it if I'm not afraid of a man walking.
I bet you're not.
No, I'm 88 years of age now. It doesn't make a difference.
I understand.